Now, in terms of Dante, though, you know, there you're looking at one of those interesting moments in the actual history of a language where the language is being formed as this poem is being concocted. And, did you feel that the demands there required you to think very differently, or again, was the same basic truth in
place?
Well,
I'm not going to create a new canonical English equivalent to his Florentine. But there's something, so of course it's his fame and his skill as a poet that account, I suppose, for Florentine, his form of Tuscan, Florentine Tuscan, becoming, you know, the national idiom. But I did not have in mind, you know, therefore I need some absolutely quintessential American English here. I mean, I think that would drive me mad. I really admired, have always admired Chardy's translation. Mm-hmm. It was produced in the 50s, and it's still absolutely current.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he hit on something that if my translation is still being read in 50 years, well, maybe I will have hit on something, but there's no telling that now.
But do you think your background with the didactic epic helped you with Dante, since there are those moments of...
There are a lot of didactic scenes, yes. I think they did, actually. And I received a wonderful compliment from the reader for Purgatorio.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you handle the astronomical passages better than anyone ever has. I was very proud of that. I worked hard on these, you know. Where's the sun, where's the moon, and this and that. And
yeah.
And I got that from Aratus, where mm-hmm. you have to do that all the time, you know. And it's a matter of zoning off clauses and making things perfectly clear and letting the structure of the verse reflect the structure that's being described. You know, that's the enterprise, you know, mm-hmm. for me. So I think the didactic experience, you know, did help
mm-hmm.
there.
Enough to draw you into to going all the way with Lucretius, or?
Let's talk about Lucretius. So anyway, I'm done with Dante, Paradiso. Purgatorio will be out next month, and Paradiso is in press. So it's time to think of Lucretius, right? Why can't I do Lucretius? I've tried. Somehow I'm not hearing him.
Mm.
And you'd think that if I've done Virgil, if I've done Ovid, I should be able to do Lucretius.
Well, you've done Empedocles and Parmenides.
And Empedocles and Parmenides and Dante, maybe has something to do with it, because there's a lot of science in Dante.
Yeah.
It's explained, and a lot of philosophy. But, you know, it's kind of easy in Dante because you have the tercet structure. He gives you the structure. And I follow the tercet structure very closely, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, you know, all other translations, as I said, my own verse paragraph corresponding with, you know, verse paragraph in the original. And I segue into rhyme, even terza rima, at the end of each canto
mm-hmm.
for the sake of closure and to represent that feature. So I'm probably going about it the wrong way. You know, when I first thought of translating Gilgamesh, which my publisher has been egging me on to translate Gilgamesh for decades, and I used to keep saying, I can't, I don't know the language, you know. But I'd always start at the beginning. Well, why not? The beginning's not so good, you know. But Lucretius, though, the beginning is just absolutely magnificent. How can I not want to do that first? But maybe I should just take some didactic passage in book mm-hmm. four or something
mm-hmm.
and do a bunch of those and try to become one with Lucretius that way, and then maybe I'll be able to do the prologue, which I absolutely can't do now.
I think what's interesting, because we have this debate about which version to use, sometimes there's, you know, philosophers do a prose version
yeah,
where they
course,
break
yeah.
it up by arguments. Mm-hmm. And but I like the idea of, I don't know if you've seen the Rolf Humphreys translation.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I think it's very good because it keeps that idea of poetic risk in that given the difficulty of this philosophy and the kind of sense of half-baked instability of the Latin language to accommodate it. There's a sense of risk and performance in Lucretius that it's actually quite exciting. And when you see the prose translations that sort of say, here's the intellectual content, you miss that element of risk.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So I'm wondering if you could channel again that didactic impulse, but give it your performative sense of risk and maybe find your way through, you know.
I think I'm going to take you on as an advisor.
Well, anytime. No,
I like that. I like that.
Well, I think it's precisely what makes this an exciting poem, right? Because in a way, you know, the Epicurean stance on poetry itself isn't much of a justification. You know, he's going against the grain of Epicurus' own sense of literature by doing it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But at the same time, that feeling that there's an urgent, almost...
So you get this tension, yeah. That could be very productive. I can see that.
I guess that's my point, is you need to have a sense that things are not in control. And behind that, you say, yes, because we live in this atomic universe, that at any moment things are spinning off, you know, blowing apart. And I think there's a kinetic energy maybe that has to be found, you know, to make that poem feel like a compelling wisdom that comes in a chaotic and dangerous world, you know?
Well put. Yeah, I think that's good. You're getting me more interested in this now. I am doing the Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, goodness.
Now, I'm in a Sanskrit study group. And the Gita, too, is one of these texts, like the Greek New Testament, every word parsed, you know, no problem. And learning Sanskrit, you just see all of the Greek elements, all of the Latin elements, and a whole lot of English Germanic cognates, too. Mm-hmm. And if you don't tie yourself to Devanagari and just use the transliteration, it's not that hard for a classicist to get into it. Mm-hmm. And I do like it, most of it. But I don't know. It's not me.
Really?
It's not me. And I don't. Well, I actually do love parts of it. Mm-hmm. But boy, it gets tedious at times. And, you know, I don't think Lucretius ever gets tedious. I don't care what he's explaining. Because you sense the passion.
Yeah.
Like, this is important.
Well, it's also this sense of the world is rational. You can understand it.
Yes,
stop
here
being
it
afraid.
Is. Damn, man. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at the mirror. You know how it
works.
Yeah,
no, his absolute commitment to it, it gives it a passion. Mm-hmm. We'll see.